Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Hey, well, we're digging in. We're in the last sermon of our series, Caution. And I don't know about you, but it's been very challenging over the last couple of weeks. We're in the book of Matthew chapter 12. And I love how Jesus just lines everything up. And I especially love the topic that he talks about today. And really, we're going to dig in. And I believe that as we're getting ready to head for Thanksgiving and the holidays, this is a very important topic for you to be really dug into. And so we're going to dig into this today. But we got into this sermon series of caution, where Jesus really gave some caution to the people that were around him and said, hey, here's a few things that you really need to be aware of. Pastor Sheree kicked it off a couple weeks ago in the check yourself message. And that whole idea is that Jesus was doing incredible, miraculous signs and wonders. See, it set a boy free who had been demonized, set a man free who couldn't talk, couldn't see. He came along and there was incredible freedom. And the religious folks of the day turned right back around and said, well, we need another sign. We need another miracle. And that whole idea of how we can miss Jesus as he's standing right in front of us even today. We can miss what he wants to do in our lives because sometimes it pushes us out of this box. So checking ourselves. And you know, Jesus even came along and said, listen, like Jonah was in the whale for 3 days and he's one of your heroes. And God has sent me to do even bigger things. Or the Queen of Sheba who had done big things. Or Solomon, all of these like superstars in the Jewish religion. And back in those days, Solomon was known as the most wise person on earth. And God was coming along and saying, listen, like Jesus is even greater than them. Don't miss out on what Jesus wants to do. Yet Jesus said, you still refuse to repent. So this idea of checking ourselves. Then last week, I don't know about you, but Pastor Paula really challenged us to change the locks in our lives. To not give the enemy access anymore. And here's what I know. The enemy, if you give him an inch, he'll take a what? He'll take a mile. So making sure that the enemy does not have access into our lives, giving God the things that he asked for. And Pastor Paula talked about this idea of the great exchange, which is an idea that Martin Luther came up with in the 1500s. And he said, listen, like the Bible says that when you clear your house out and Jesus comes along and he cleans things up in your life, that if you don't come and exchange, then the Bible says the enemy comes back 7 times stronger. So what are you filling your life with? So really coming along and saying, okay, God, when you ask me to give something, then I'm going to give it to you, and I want you to fill me back up with what you want me to be filled up with. So literally the practical idea of this is saying, God, I give you this. What do you want to give me in exchange? And then you listen, and that's what you fill your life up with, and really digging in. And so today we come to the end of Matthew chapter 12, or the end of this sermon series, and Jesus digs into a topic that really is so important for us. We've been in this whole series, this whole year of digging in and talking about bearing good fruit. And so whenever we come to the end of the sermon series, we always come back to this idea of bearing good fruit. Jesus talks to us in this next portion of scripture about family. He really digs into this idea about family. And here's what I want to tell you. In this season, as we get ready to go into Thanksgiving and Christmas, sometimes in life it becomes very apparent of the family that you lack, of the things that you've always hoped for. I think some people will use the family in their life as a reason to not bear good fruit. And what Jesus is saying is, listen, I want to speak to you about family right now. I want to speak to you about this idea of family. And here's what I want you to know. The incredible thing about God is that when you say yes to him, he brings you in to a spiritual family. It doesn't matter the lack that you've had in your life. Some people in this room, you'll sit and you'll go, man, my upbringing and my family. And by the way, my mom and dad are here today, Dennis and Callie Noble. Can we give them a hand? We're so glad you're here. Incredible parents who really gave us an incredible upbringing. But there, not everyone can say that in this room. In fact, your family has literally been the thing that has held you back from bearing good fruit. Maybe your family, because of the pain, maybe you didn't have a mom or dad, and you've always hoped and dreamed for, and you've always longed for this idea of having a family. And what Jesus says is he comes along and he says, listen, when you accept me into your life, you have a new family. You're adopted. You are adopted into the kingdom of heaven. You are no longer an orphan. And I want to tell you something. The orphan spirit today is massive and it's large. What the enemy comes along to try to do is say, listen, you have no family. You have no history. You like all of that pain, all of that difficulty, the orphan spirit, the enemy would love to get you to believe that you're here alone. And Jesus says, I've changed that orphan spirit with a spirit of adoption. And when you are adopted into the family of God and you realize it and you understand that the spiritual family that Jesus wants to bring around you is a game changer. This idea of bearing good fruit. And I think truthfully, and I think honestly, there are some branches of our tree that need to be trimmed because they're dead. Tied to your family, tied to the things that you always hoped for and always wished for. And the Lord wants to come in and wants to prune some of the areas of our life when it comes to that. Because we've spent so much time wishing and hoping for the family that could never, ever possibly be, that Jesus says, I want to exchange that. And I want to give you a spiritual family. And I want to meet those needs, that hole in your heart that you have. We go back to this idea in Matthew 12, 33 through 37 about bearing good fruit. A tree is identified by its fruit, Matthew says. If a tree is good, its fruit will be good. If a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. You brood of snakes, how could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. See, here's what I'm saying. The brokenness from your family, the brokenness from your hoping to have the family that you'd always dreamed of can keep you from bearing good fruit. Letting God in to heal that portion of your life. Matthew goes on to say, an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. And listen, what I'm saying is, in this situation, I think it's a broken heart. I think it's a heart that doesn't feel like they quite measure up. I think it's a heart that doesn't believe they have a seat at the table. Because for so long in their earthly family, a person believes that they don't measure up. And I'll tell you this. And this is what scripture says. Matthew says, I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. So this challenge to bear good fruit. And I'm challenging you to bear good fruit despite your family. Despite how things have gone in your family. Some of you, you've spent so much of your time wishing that you had a dad or wishing that you had a mom. And that it literally has caused you to go off track. And today, here's what I want you to hear me say. God has adopted you into his family. And we're going to see Jesus talk about this. And here's what I love. I don't know if you know this about Jewish adoption. So put this in the light of what we're talking about here. Okay? When a family in Jewish culture had a baby, they could always give that baby up for adoption. When you adopt a child, they can never give that baby away. So when Jesus talks about adoption, sometimes we wonder, why is it adoption? Because it's the strongest thing that can happen in Jewish culture. And what Jesus is saying to all of us is that no matter what you do, no matter where you're from, no matter what your history is, no matter what has been spoken over your life for years by your parents and by your family, that does not define you. Jesus defines you. You are defined by a God who loves you. You are defined by a God who said, I will give my son for their life. You have a spiritual family. And if you'll step in and you'll take hold of that, it's a game changer. Bearing good fruit. Some of us, we use that as an excuse. Well, I could never bear good fruit. I mean, think about what has been spoken over my life. The guilt and the shame and the pain and all of those things that have held you back. Family situations cannot be the reason that you allow bad fruit into your life. Or that you portray bad fruit. And for some of us, we need to walk into Thanksgiving and Christmas and allow the Lord to heal our hearts and be a different person. To bear good fruit despite what's happened to you in your life. You're going, Pastor, that's hard. It is hard. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 12, 46 through 50. As Jesus was speaking to the crowd, his mothers and brothers stood outside asking to speak to him. Someone told Jesus, your mother and brothers are standing outside and they want to speak to you. Jesus asked, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Then he pointed to his disciples and said, look, these are my mothers and brothers. Anyone who does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. And at first glance, this may look like, what is Jesus trying to say here? But I want to tell you what I think Jesus is trying to say. Jesus is saying, anyone can be a part of my family that believes. Anyone that can that can wrap their arms and say, Jesus, I want to align my will with your will. He was literally opening up the family to all of us. He was saying, you can be a part of my family. And I want to tell you something about a spiritual family and about the family Jesus was talking about. It is the best family that you could, it's the family you've always dreamed of. It has the love that you'd always hope for. Jesus loves you so much, he said, come and be a part of my family. And we've spent so much time, there's people in this room, you've spent so much time trying to go back and fix your family and trying to go back and make things work. Listen, it may never work, and that's okay because you're part of a spiritual family. And I promise you this, if you'll allow God to come in and touch your heart, he changes everything. We talk about Jesus is talking about priorities here too. He was cautioning, don't put your family above God. And in our world, there's some people who put their children above God because their children run their life, right? And what God is saying is, do not put anything above me. Don't put anything. There are some people, you put your hurt, your pain, the things that have happened in your life above what God can do. You worship those problems more than you worship God. And you might go, Pastor, how could that be? Because I want to tell you how that is. You spend all your time thinking about it. You spend all your effort trying to fix it. That consumes you. Whatever consumes you is what you worship. And I know it's hard, and I know it's painful, especially when you think about the hurt and the pain that maybe has been caused by your family. But Jesus is saying, listen, I want to take those branches and I want to prune them. I want to bring healing. Sometimes those branches have to be cut out to bring healing. Especially if a tree has sickness and those branches, they need to be pruned. And some of us, we've got to let God prune those areas in our life and then bring something in exchange. I want to look at four truths that you realize about family. Point number one, Jesus redefines family. He's the only one that can. We live in a world that's trying to redefine family. It's not their job. Only God, because God created family. In this passage, Jesus isn't dismissing his biological family. Instead, he's expanding the concept of family to include those who do the will of God. And thankfully, that means you're part of his family. All of a sudden, the doors have come wide open, and you have a place at the table. Here's what I love about God's family. Some of us, we're so used to striving. There's some people that are used to striving to find a place in their family. Well, if I could only do this, or I could only do better, if I could make them love me more, if I could do this more, then maybe my dad would love me. And this isn't me, I'm just saying, because my mom and dad are incredible, and I'm very grateful for that. But there are some that live that way. If I could just get the attention of my mom and dad, then everything would be fixed. If I could just put this family back together again where there's so much brokenness. And I believe that God sometimes says, listen, chop off the branch. Part of this is forgiving. Choosing to forgive family. Choosing to forgive a mom or a dad who's brought a lot of hurt in your life. Because that brings you freedom. But here's what I love is everyone's welcome in this family. To be a part of Jesus' family, you align your life with God's will. You don't have to strive to measure up. You don't have to try to make God think that, you know, he loves you. There's nothing else you could do anymore to cause him to love you any more than he already does or any less than he does. Allowing that love of Jesus to pour into your life. So how do you align your lives with God's will? You put God first in every aspect. Seek his direction in your life and then obediently follow that direction. Don't allow your past. Don't allow the hurts of your past. Don't allow the soul wounds to keep you stuck. Let the Lord bring freedom. And he does that when you become part of the family. So we align our will, but then we do the will of the Father, which is point number two. Jesus makes it clear that being part of his family means doing the will of the Father. But what does that look like? In Matthew 7, 17 through 20, we read this. Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. There are some branches that need to be trimmed in your life, especially when it comes to this idea of family, possibly. Allowing God in to say, okay, listen, I'm going to cut this stuff down. I'm going to rebuild you. I'm going to bring you into the family of God if you will allow me to, and it changes everything. What does good fruit look like? Good fruit is obedience to God. John 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commands. It's loving God and following his commands. It's love and compassion, Galatians 5, 22 through 23. Exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I want to tell you, the fruit of the Spirit can only come from a healed heart. We can sit here and say all day long, I want the fruit of the Spirit in my life. It only comes from a healed heart. It only comes from understanding your position in God's family. It does not come from looking and wishing that your earthly family could have been different. It comes from understanding who you are and whose you are. And then service and sacrifice. You can do the will of God no matter where you come from or who your earthly family is. Listen, you are not defined by those things anymore. When you are a follower of Christ, Jesus gives you a definition. In fact, Jesus names you. Do you know that? He sees what you can be, not what you are. And you are not named and defined by what maybe those people have spoken over your life, your whole life. You're not named. He gives you a new name. And sometimes he gives you a new last name too. Because he totally and completely redefines who you are. That's what he wants to do. Point number three, God has to be first in our lives. We've talked about that. To align our will with God's will, we have to make him first. Nothing can come before him. We can't allow the hurts and pain from our past, especially from our families, to keep us from putting God first. God has got to be first. Let him be first in your life. And that is a constant battle because there's a lot of things in our life that tries to get first. That's a constant thing that we've got to walk through. We break this idea, and here's the thing. There are people who give their past and the pain in their lives more room at the table than God has. We break this by allowing God to come into our hearts and to change things. When you spend your time chasing in life and allowing all of this past and all the history to consume your thoughts and emotions, and you spend time and effort, that's where you have to stop and say, okay, God, I need to put you first. You're going to take care of the rest. You're going to take care of the rest. And then allow him to prune the branches and the things in your life. And I think what is the real challenge, because what really poisons the tree is unforgiveness and bitterness. Okay? And when we get into this idea of family, sometimes it's the hardest to forgive. And here's the thing about forgiveness, is it's kind of like an onion. It goes one layer at a time. The deeper you get, the more you cry, the more it hurts. But the Lord is able to bring healing all the way to the root. And that's some of what needs to happen, guys. You've been trying to heal the symptoms, but the root is what God is wanting to get down to. And that's where there might need to be some pruning. That's where there might need to be God coming along and saying, listen, I love you enough to change what you think about yourself and to bring healing to your heart if you'll let him. Unforgiveness and bitterness. You say, Pastor, how do I forgive? You make the choice. You make the choice because holding on to unforgiveness only hurts you. It doesn't hurt the other person. Wishing it was different doesn't hurt anybody but you. Bitterness, and that's the problem. Unforgiveness turns into bitterness, and it goes deep. And it will poison your tree. It'll poison every aspect of your life. And Jesus is saying, listen, I have something better for you. And here's point number four, is realizing you have a spiritual family. Every aspect of your life will change when you realize you have a family. It doesn't matter if you lose your earthly parents, there's a spiritual family that will come around you and they will love you. And that's what Jesus says, like get plugged in. My prayer in 2025 is that Hope City will become such a spiritual family for people, that we come around people, that there's some spiritual moms and dads who will step up to the plate and take that role in people's lives. Because truthfully, If you don't have a mom or a dad, and you've never had that, you need a spiritual mom or dad. And those spiritual mom and dads, here's what I love about spiritual parents. They choose to be there. They've chosen you. You might go, well, what are they going to think if they actually know who I am? They're going to love you. They're going to wrap their arms around you just like Jesus does. We need people who will say, listen, we're part. I want to tell you, yesterday when we put Zanera, we laid Zanera to rest. She was 2 years old. She died on Halloween. That mom was surrounded by a spiritual family. Hope City showed up. And it's amazing to see. You have a family. Stop thinking you don't. It's right here. You have a spiritual family who, I promise you, if you will dig in and you allow God to bring healing and start to build roots here and let God replace those roots with a new root, it'll change everything. You have a family. So don't walk out of here today believing the lie that you don't have a family and that you're missing something. Because if you'll plug into that spiritual family, God will replace everything you think you've lost. God will give you more than what you could ever expect because you're part of His family. Friends, we got to be open to God using a spiritual family. And I think that's why so much of the time today, the enemy has also tried to cause spiritual families to hurt people. He steps in and he tries to go, oh yeah, you don't even, but I'm telling you right now, if we all become part of that spiritual family and we say, listen, don't let any hurt from a spiritual family in the past keep you away from digging in to a spiritual family today. God wants to pour out His love upon you, and He does that through a spiritual family. We all need family. We all need a place to belong. How do we really help to become a spiritual family? We encourage, we build each other up in faith. We hold each other accountable. We have a shared mission. We can't do life alone. You can't do it alone. And some of us think, well, if I could do it alone, if I only had the right family. You do have the right family. Get plugged into the spiritual family. That's what Jesus was saying. I got a place for you. Come and get plugged in. It's amazing what God can do when we do life together. And I can promise you this, God has everything you need, and He has an incredible family that He wants to pour out in your life. Don't use the past for a reason to not bear good fruit in the future. Release your parents, release your family. Say, God, I know I've been hurt, but I'm giving those hurts to You right now. I want to plug into my spiritual family, and I want to know what it's like. It's the best family that you could ever imagine. It's everything you ever dreamed of. And I'm not saying your spiritual family is not going to let you down sometimes, because everyone's human. But I'll tell you this, with God's family, He'll never let you down.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.